Coming up in the program, we are going to, we got Knucklehead Theater again, day three. We just started this on Monday, thought we'd do it once a week. Every day more knuckleheads show up. Wait, then we got a knucklehead, I don't even know how to play this knucklehead's audio, who busted into a school Zoom class to screw up his brother's school Zoom class. This, I am telling you, is the wave of the future.
Equivalent of pulling the fire alarm.
Yeah. But he's like the older brother who just wants to be a total, what's the word I'm looking for here? D-bag?
I probably would have done something like that, to be honest.
Wait, you hear this kid? He might be a little high while he's doing it. So it's a lot of things going on here, my friends. A lot of things. Knucklehead Theater will not ever end. All right, so we've got that coming up. Oh, you know what? In the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Dr. J. We've experienced the shortest bull market in American history. Now, how did that happen? Because, you know, economic numbers in terms of jobs and all that, I mean, they're coming back a little bit, but they're not great. It's not great. There are still concerns about what's going to happen here in terms of public sector layoffs and maybe other businesses that are changing and how's that working? But yet the economy as it is reflected in the markets are still hot. Can they still be hot? Are they safe to still be in? Because I think there are many, many investors who are wondering why Wall Street and Main Street seem so disconnected here. So Dr. J, John and Jerry will join us to talk to us about that in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, John Fritchie is with us right now. He's a political analyst on this program, longtime serving public servant in the state of Illinois and County of Cook. He was a commissioner for Cook County, and he was state rep down in Springfield for a number of years, more than he wishes to admit as well. And four aldermen now are asking for a special city council meeting on looting, and they're asking for the National Guard to be called in to help this issue. The mayor is not happy about these four aldermen calling for this, because she called them grandstanders, actually, for doing this. I wouldn't do that, quite honestly. This is a conversation that we need to have. And John, I know you were involved in this over your years in public service, because this is not a new argument, is it?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. There
is
you
this
go.
Knucklehead Theater?
Right. But you know what? You don't want to star in Knucklehead Theater, John. You definitely don't. All right. So, but you...
Now you tell me. No, all kidding aside, though. No, it's absolutely not a new issue. About a decade ago, myself and State Rep. LaShawn Ford, who represents the area on the west side of Chicago by Lawndale, talked about the same issue from the standpoint of, let's discuss it and put it on the table, that everything should be up there for discussion. What happens is there's such knee-jerk reaction on both sides about this issue that it never really gets an intelligent discussion. And in the meantime, you know, the problem, I'm not going to say the problem gets worse, because if you remember, Ro, and you and I both grew up downtown, you know, in the early 90s, so almost 20 years ago, 30 years ago, holy cow, you know, we were getting regularly, you know, 900 shootings a year.
Yeah. 900
murders. Yeah. I apologize. Yeah. You know, last year, I think it was about 329. This year, I think we're already about 460. So what I'm getting at, it's not as if we are at all-time highs by any stretch. However, you know, obviously 400 is still 400 too many.
Yeah. Well, it's nothing by comparison. You know, before we go any further on that, I want to put a little context to it. By comparison to other major cities, we outpace them then. One of the reasons, you and I both know this as well, that one of the reasons that the murder number is down is because of modern medical technology, battlefield technology that is being employed, has been learned over the last 30 years of war around the world, is now being employed on the streets of Chicago and saving more people. There's no question about that being true. The number of shootings is up, but static. You know, it's not
correct.
Really it's like the positivity number, really. And I hate to make it equivalent to that, but that is really where we are. The idea here, though, in Chicago has always been a brutally violent city in which people, primarily neighbors, are trying to kill each other. And they're not necessarily going out of their neighborhoods to kill people. They're staying in their neighborhoods to kill people because they're trying to get some sort of either economic or vengeance advantage over an individual or a group of individuals as expressed by gangs. That's it. That's the beginning, middle, and end of what really has is the major crime problem in Chicago. How do you stop that? And this idea of using the National Guard, we'll come back and we'll pick this up on the other side. Hold on 1 second for me, John. John Fritchie, political analyst at the Rob Kahn Show. We will talk about this on the other side, because if he's got really good arguments for and against, but I think for the use of the National Guard. And that's changed my mind about this. We'll talk about it on the other side. And your phone calls, 312-981-7200. But first, here is Mary Vandeveld. She's got the WGN traffic and weather.
Chicago Fire FC returns to WGN-TV. The regular season resumes as they head to Columbus to battle the Crew Thursday at 6:30 on WGN-TV Sports.
My God, was that a good read, Kevin Powell.
Thank you, Ro.
John Fritchie joins us right now, political analyst. He was a long time politician here in Chicago, county commissioner and state rep. And we were talking about National Guard in the streets of Chicago. Four Chicago aldermen have come out and said they would like to have an emergency meeting of the Chicago City Council to talk about this, to put National Guard troops on the streets of Chicago, amongst other solutions to try to quell the violence here. I mean, you got these shootings every day, every morning. I wake up now, John, to a list of shootings and deaths overnight. And this is the summer season, as it's been called now for 20 years here, the killing season in Chicago. It's crazy that there literally is a gang-on-gang hunting season, and that's exactly what happens between when it just as soon as it gets warm till it doesn't get warm anymore. So it can last 6 months, it can last 4 months, whatever it is. Terrible. It's a ridiculous thing. And one of the things that you did in your analysis of this, because 10 years ago, as you mentioned, you and LaShawn Ford had suggested this as something to be looked at by the state, should the National Guard be used, was how and this has changed my mind about this. We're not putting tanks in the streets. We're not putting helicopters overhead. This is the idea of people who are trained in urban policing being extra eyes and ears and hands on the streets.
And that's really how I envisioned it last time. What gets discouraging is to people who are against it, and there are some very valid reasons to be against it. But there's a lot of fear-mongering that goes on that says, you know, we're going to have guards with machine guns and tanks in the street, and we're going to turn our neighborhoods into war zones. Well, my response to that is a few fold. Number one, a lot of these neighborhoods already are war zones. And what we're talking about isn't guardsmen walking down the street with M16s. We're talking about maybe stationing, you know, a couple National Guardsmen at playgrounds, at areas that have been hotspots. You need to think about bringing them in as a deterrent, not as an extra offensive force. And again, like I said, there are reasons to oppose it. But if it were to be done, it needs to be in a limited capacity. Basically, when they would come into a city, and keep in mind, we brought the Guard in, you know, to prevent rioting during the Bulls championships. So, you know, we've got a history of using them for things. And the issue, though, is what are they going to do? Are they going to be able to restore calm? And what's the exit strategy, right? This is not a solution, and people need to understand that. This is something that can help us get by, you know, at the baseline. And you and I have discussed this on the show many times. The baseline are still fundamental problems that have existed for decades. Educational opportunities, job opportunities, you know, getting better family and community involvement to break the code of silence. All of these things. But until we get to those root causes, we have to do something to stop some of these issues. And if we can put the National Guardsmen in various locations as a deterrent, then maybe you can reallocate police forces to where they may be needed.
I will say I will say this, that in the aftermath of the rioting and looting here in May, when National Guardsmen were posted to basically restrict access to downtown. They were put, I think, on Division Street on the north and Roosevelt on the south, out on the to the expressways on the west.
I had three Humvees down the street from me on Chicago Avenue.
Yeah, I mean, and they were there with city snow plows. They were blocking access. You had guys in Humvees in National Guard, you know, and these are state authorized officials that have police powers. They were in their Humvees next to Illinois State Police officers who were in their squad roles, and Chicago police officers who were there as well. And it actually made me feel so much better to have them there, because it was just more people, it was more bodies that were going to say to anybody who wanted to cause trouble, this is not the block you're going to do it on.
Well, and that's just it. So don't think about using the guard to replace the police. Think about using the guard where they could be in a deterrent capacity to free up, even if it's patrolling neighborhoods, walking beats. You know, and this would all be done in conjunction with an agreement with the city. You know, people need to understand there's so much ground to cover here. But, you know, one thing, a lot of people still confuse the National Guard with the military. You know, this would not be Trump sending in federal troops. It would be Governor Pritzker, if he's deemed it appropriate, sending in Illinois National Guardsmen, many of whom are from the community, come in here in a limited capacity. Now, that being said, one thing that is concerning is this. Something that was fascinating when Representative Ford and I did this a decade ago was most of the pushback we got, almost all of the pushback we got, candidly, was from white progressives, primarily on the north side and unaffected areas. And they were saying, you can't put guardsmen down there. You're going to make it into a military camp. It's going to be like a war zone. You can't do this to them. However, almost everybody we heard from who lived in Roseland, Lawndale, Englewood, these were the people that supported it. They said, yes, whatever it's going to do to keep kids from getting shot going to school, let's do this.
Okay, but I want to throw this at you because this just happened today. Yep. That we have learned now in terms of the school districts deciding the school, high schools and local schools in the Chicago public school system, who had a vote on whether they wanted to vote for or against having these resource officers, which is just cops in schools. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was the kids who bring Starbucks to school for high school. Those high schools were like, oh, we cannot have this. This is about oppression. And the schools that are in the most dangerous and highly affected by violence areas all want those officers there. That is the difference. You are 100% right. I mean, lakefront liberals, and I have been accused of being one many a time in this town, and I'm okay with that. But we have got to figure out a way to make this situation stop in its tracks, and this may be the only way to do it.
Well, but what's interesting now is that the script may be flipped, and not necessarily for a good reason, because right now what I'm hearing from is a lot of folks in the Gold Coast, on the north side, people who are now having this crime come to their doorstep, the ones who didn't want the National Guard before, they're the ones who are asking for it.
Yeah.
But now when you have folks in a lot of the affected communities who wanted to help before, there's such an increased distrust of police and authority and any type of command and control that they may not be as welcoming in those communities as they had been in the past. You know, if people want to have an intelligent conversation about can we bring the guard in, should we bring them in, what would it look like, you know, that's a conversation to be had. But I don't want to hear a hue and cry of support for it from white people because suddenly there's crimes happening on Oak Street instead of on 47.
Yeah,
you know, so that can't be the driving issue.
No, it can't be, but it is. But it's gotten the attention of people who are the taxpayers who get the attention of their aldermen and their and the business people in this town. And when they start, and when 40% of the tax revenue in this town comes out of two wards in the city of Chicago, those people do have outsized influence. And they have outsized influence because they're seen as the way that Chicago is not going to go become Detroit. I mean, that's just a reality. And there are the people, the fine folks who have day in and day out jobs, school teachers, nurses, health aides, postal workers, people who live in these affected neighborhoods who are working, and all they want to do is go to work, come home, be safe. They know it's not going to be completely safe because he never is, but relatively safe in their neighborhood and raise their children. That's what they want. And even if they're single moms, and even if they, you know, were involved in, you know, when they were kids, they knew gangbangers or they were gangbangers, whatever but they got older and they did whatever they had to do to make a legitimate living. The people who are living legitimately in the economy of Chicago need protection here. And that is the vast majority. And whether you're some, you know, billionaire in the Gold Coast, or you're a working mom postal worker who is not quite sure how she is going to home Zoom school her kid right now, or two kids or three kids. I'm telling you, those are the people we got to protect. And this is a viable solution, finally, because it is well designed to meet the needs of Chicago.
It's not even well designed. It can be custom tailored to meet our needs, whatever those are. And, you know, what I hope happens is that you know, this doesn't turn into a finger-pointing contest between Alderman and the mayor, or the mayor and the governor and whoever else. It's, let's really sit down. Because the one thing, the one answer that's not acceptable is, candidly, the answer that I got from Jody Weiss and Mayor Daley back in the time, which was, we have it under control. If the answer is not the National Guard in some limited capacity, then what is the answer?
Okay, I want to throw something at you. As a former county commissioner, the Cook County Sheriff's Police, not the jail guards, but the Cook County Sheriff's Police is an actual, you know, back when we were kids, probably wasn't as legitimate a police organization as many others. A lot of those guys were patronage guys. Now, that is a well-formed police organization. Those are professional police. And they are being used in the city of Chicago, even though that's not their charter. They were invited in by a previous administration to come help patrol on the west side of the city of Chicago. They still stand ready. And there are police on that job that are as good as any police you're going to find anywhere in the country, and they are being run by a former Chicago police boss who is one of the best national law enforcement people in the country as well, Leo Schmitz. And that guy has got these young men and women well trained to handle this stuff. I don't know why, unlike Los Angeles, who does this, I don't know why we don't use the county sheriffs, because they're sitting there. They have the ability to do this.
There's no question about that. Sheriff Dart and I used to serve together in the legislature way back when. And, you know, he does have a very good group of officers. Keep in mind, though, that we have 2 million and change people in Chicago. We have 5 million in Cook County, and the Cook County Sheriff is just that. So they're spread thin as well. But, what you're getting at, though, is this. There is a comprehensive solution. We just have to figure out what that is.
I just want to stop.
Yeah, I understand.
But let me just finish on this. I understand what you just said, but I don't want to leave that impression in people's minds that Cook County sheriffs do that. They are ancillary to all the local law enforcement throughout Cook County. All of those municipalities have police departments, and those who don't, Cook County serves as the local police for them. But they do have an ability to be here, and they do have an ability to help, and it should be all hands on deck. And if that does mean the National Guard as well, I know I'm late. John, we'll pick this up at some future date. I appreciate it, sir. As always, John Fritchie, political consultant to the Ro Concho unpaid position. All right, we have got the news right now for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Here's Kim Gordon.